You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning on this Wednesday, September 3rd. While the party faithful is in St. Paul at the Republican National Convention today, Vice President Dick Cheney is in oil-rich Azerbaijan, the start of a tour that aims to show Washington support of Russia's southern neighbors. He plans to head later to neighboring Georgia, where Washington is trying to bolster support for Mikhail Saakashvili's U.S. allied government, battered by last month's short war with Russia. Joining us now is the BBC's Moscow correspondent, Steve Rosenberg, coming to us from Moscow. Hello, Stephen, and welcome.
Thanks very much.
So what is the message Vice President Dick Cheney is sending to Moscow?
Well, I think, first of all, Dick Cheney is sending a message to America's allies in Russia's backyard. That is that America, Washington, will continue to support Ukraine and Georgia and Azerbaijan. But I think, really, this visit is all about geopolitics and all about oil and gas. I think the geopolitics are very simple. Azerbaijan has massive reserves of oil and natural gas, reserves that America and Europe want to tap. They want to pump them west via Georgia, bypassing Russia, so that the West can be less reliant on Russian energy. And I think there is concern in Washington at the moment, following the violence in the Caucasus, that those reserves are under threat and that Azerbaijan could feel itself pressured into turning its back on the West and to getting a deal on energy with the Kremlin instead. So I think that's why Dick Cheney has gone to Baku. But even if he succeeds there, he still has a major problem in Georgia, because Georgia was selected by the West as a safe transit point for these pipelines going west to bypass Russia. Well, the conflict that we saw last month has shown that Georgia is anything but safe and stable. So that is a major headache for the West.
And not only that, but the Kremlin has made it abundantly clear that it not only resents the U.S. backing of these areas, but potentially might do something in retaliation.
I think over the last few years, the Kremlin has got increasingly irritated as it has seen Western influence grow and get closer to its borders. You know, the Kremlin has watched as NATO has expanded up to Russia's eastern borders. Even former Soviet states like Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia are now members of NATO, and NATO has promised to make Ukraine and Georgia one day members of NATO. Russia has sat back and seen the United States make an agreement with Poland and the Czech Republic about a missile defense shield in Eastern Europe. And Russia, I think, has drawn a red line in the sand now and is determined to defend what it sees as its sphere of influence in the former Soviet space, and is making it clear that, you know, as far as oil and gas is concerned, Russia is determined to battle all the way to make sure that all the pipelines from the Caspian go through Russia.
Well, Steve, there are red lines, and then there are, as you point out, pipelines. The EU had as its theme in the summit that took place just a few days ago, you know, the issue of getting an alternative pipeline that bypasses Russia. Do you see Cheney's visit to Azerbaijan as an extension of what was discussed at the EU summit, or much more of an independent initiative?
I think it is an independent initiative. I think you're right that European leaders did mention the idea of diversifying their energy sources so that they're not reliant on Russia. But that's going to take a very long time. And I think the Russians feel very confident about their position. They know that Europe at the moment is reliant on Russian oil and gas. And they feel that America also needs Russia's help for a whole range of issues. So I think in what's become this rather complicated but dramatic geopolitical game, Moscow is feeling very confident indeed.
Well, but the flip side of that, too, is, though, doesn't Russia need these international markets as well?
Well, that's often said by economists and politicians in the West. If you say that to someone in the Russian government, they'll shrug their shoulders and say, look, we can sell our oil and gas to China. And Russia is in the process of building new pipelines to China. So the Russians are very bullish indeed.
I guess the question for Azerbaijan then is, you say that The U.S. and the West needs cooperation from Russia on a variety of fronts. I'm wondering if, to get their oil reserves proven and pumping, if Azerbaijan has more of an incentive to rely on Russian technology right across the border, right there, than it does relying on Western oil companies. And there have been all sorts of discussions of the extreme difficulties of working in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, and I'm sure that that's a point that the Russians will have been making to Azerbaijan, which used to be the capital of the Soviet oil industry. And I think there'll be quite some pressure coming from Moscow to persuade Azerbaijan that it's in Azerbaijan's own interest to turn away from the West and sell its gas to Moscow, so that the gas West goes through Russian pipelines.
You know, that raises a question, though. Does Putin and Medvedev, in their heart of hearts, believe that the Azerbaijani oil is actually theirs?
Well, I think there is a widely held belief in the corridors of power in Russia today that former Soviet states like Azerbaijan, Armenia, Georgia, Ukraine, on Russia's borders, are within Russia's sphere of influence. As far as Russia is concerned, America is trying to get a foothold in Russia's backyard. In fact, quite interesting today, the head of the Russian Security Council said quite openly that America was trying to get the energy resources from former Soviet republics. Moscow does not want that to happen, so the Russians will try all they can to convince their neighbors that it's in their neighbors' interests to send this oil via Moscow, via Russia, rather than via Western pipelines.
And Steve, is that more than just talk about a pipeline bypassing Russia? Are there actual plans? Has any money been put up? Where is what's the status of that?
Yes, the Russians are building pipelines to compete with the ones which are being planned in the West. There is a pipeline called the Southern Stream, which is a direct competitor with the Nabucco pipeline. Now, that's the key pipeline, which is supported by the US and the EU. The aim of that would be to take Azeri natural gas and pump it through Georgia to Turkey and then from Turkey to Austria. But the Russians are building this Southern Stream, which is the competitor, and they're trying to persuade countries in Central Asia to send their gas for that. Quite interestingly, yesterday, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin had talks in Uzbekistan with the Uzbek president, and they made a deal on building a new pipeline, the idea being that Uzbekistan would send its gas not into the Nabucco pipeline, supported by America and Europe, but into the Russian pipeline.
And Stephen, has there been a specific response to Dick Cheney's trip, his arrival in the region, by the Kremlin?
No, not really. One Russian foreign ministry official said, well, we'll have to wait and see what Dick Cheney says once he gets to Georgia, but hinting that his presence there didn't help the stability in the region. We haven't had much more reaction than that.
Here's a question, Steve. You don't even have to respond to this if you don't want to. I mean, there's the possibility that Dick Cheney, outgoing vice president, is actually looking for a job, right?
Well, you know, when the German Chancellor, the former German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder, was looking for a job, he found one very quickly with Gazprom.
Interesting. And, of course, the oil industry is no stranger to Dick Cheney, who used to run Halliburton. Steve Rosenberg, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Steve Rosenberg, BBC correspondent in Moscow. A lot going on that visit, that's for sure.
No question, and a lot going on our website. We have an email from Bob from New York on Governor Palin's daughter. He says, I agree with Barack Obama that we should leave this young lady alone, but the problem is her mother built a career out of the government being involved in women's relationship with the decision to have a child or not. So now suddenly to say this when she should be left alone, but women across America should not be, it is a contradiction that she can't get off the hook. Hmm. Thank you.
I would say about Governor Palin, Dove from the Bronx says it's poor judgment to go back to work a couple of days after having a child with some kind of disability, whether it's Down syndrome or anything else, and then to have a campaign. You can weigh in on the Palin question. Is it a part of the national debate or is it irrelevant? 877-8-MY-TAKE, mytake@thetakeaway.org. And also, is there a double standard? Do men never get asked these questions and only someone like Sarah Palin have to to deal with these questions.
And is that a question of how we share parenting responsibilities in this country? Is it equally shared between mothers and fathers, if you're a mother or a father? We want to hear from you, 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org.
Also, if you have a job for Vice President Cheney, also, you know, don't forget to call us. We're trying to hook him up. That's 877-8-MY-TAKE.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.